Hey, it's not every day we hear about young men who know exactly what they want to do. And welcome to another episode of Why Not You? This is your host, D. Wells. And today we're diving into a fascinating discussion with our guests, Ife Omene and Wade Simmons, two dynamic individuals navigating their dreams with passion and resilience. They both started their journeys with unique paths. Ife bravely dropped out of college to follow his filmmaking dream, while Wade has been taking on the world with his latest project series, Love Always Wins. Now, amidst having adventures like being a mortician also, they'll share how connections, mentorships, and the relentless pursuit of their craft have shaped their careers in the film industry. Let's get it started, y'all. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
How you been, bro?
Oh man, I've been good, man. I appreciate you for having me back on again. It means a lot too.
So what's the latest and greatest you got going on?
So what was that? Man, I done forgot what day it was. Was it last? Was it Tuesday or Friday? Sometime last week I filmed. I had did a new episode of my web series, Love Always Wins. I did an episode about believe it or not, I did an episode about hair because, like, I feel like in our culture, I think our hair is pretty cool because I know, like, with me, like, a lot of times I'm rocking my fro right now, I got it covered up, but you know, some people are like, man, can I touch your hair? Why is it so nappy? Why I look like that? But I'm like, you know, hey, God made all our hair beautiful. So, like, you know, I want to represent the culture a little bit.
That's right. So when is this going to come out?
Probably by next week. I work pretty swiftly if it's good. Now, if I do a little more work, then I touch it up a bit. But yeah, because like my web series is all about love, so you know, I try to keep everything centered around that. And so, like, I don't know, I feel like, you know, you should love who you are, love everything about you, you know.
Right.
Of course, I know, I think we're working towards perfection, but I still think you got to love yourself, man. I think that's important.
That is. So what made you come up with the series?
Actually, so when I was in film school, we had learned a lot about, like, the film industry, like how to, like, you know, negotiate, how to pitch films and ideas. And there was a one teacher, his name was Bradley LaRocco. He made me the producer on one of the student film projects. He had told me straight up, he was like, you know, he said, "Wait, you're a young man with a unique background, like you're a filmmaker and you work in the funeral business." He was like, "So I'm pretty sure, like, you may have really some interesting things." So I was like, I got this idea, like, I want to pitch it to, like, you know, maybe Netflix or, you know, one of them bigger places, Amazon or whatever. And he was like, "Why don't you just make it yourself?" And I thought about it. And so I took his advice. So, like, while I was in film school, I started producing, like, the first episode. It was a disaster, by the way, too, because like, the first episode was called Repeat. And the reason why I was called Repeat, because when I went to mortuary school, I had to start over. So I was poking fun at myself. Like, so basically it was about, you know, me failing this class. And then I had to start, do the class again. And I had the same teacher. I'm like, but then the funny thing about it, though, right, was that the person that was supposed to play Wade didn't show up. So I actually had somebody to actually play me. And they didn't show up. So, you know, knowing me, the person I am, I'm like, wait a minute, I done paid people to come. Yeah. I done, you know, did all this and then got actors to come and all this. I'm like, nah. And so the guy, Ben, he helps me direct sometimes. Ben is kind of like, man, he's like a really good friend. Like, anything I need, he got my back. So, and like when I first approached him, like, with the script, right, I ain't really feeling this way. Like, Ben is really honest. Like, what is this? But I appreciate that he went ahead and, like, you know, gave it a chance to direct it anyway. But anyway, the person that was supposed to play me didn't show up. So he, like, "Why don't you do the part?"
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I guess it only makes sense. Like, you know, I'm not really, I mean, even though it is acting, I mean, hey, I'm playing myself, so I get to be me. So,
that's right. Hey man, but you said a couple things just when you were talking about the idea, and you were talking about like kind of like whether or not you should pitch it to like Netflix or Amazon, and then you had this other person that you trust was like, why don't you do it yourself? Yeah. I mean, how much time do you think you would have lost, or not? I don't want to say lost, because I mean, if you're productive, you're not losing time. But how much time do you think you would have actually spent on trying to, you know, you have this idea and then you're trying to pitch it to Netflix or just like a major company like that?
Yeah, it would have been probably and it would have been tough, because first of all, nothing is impossible. But like when you're dealing with that type of structure, you got to go through agents. You know, you got to go through all these different drafts of the script, because of course, they're, you know, to be honest, all of us are artists, all of us are creative, but their business model is not for everybody. It's like you got to kind of jump through hoops and all this. And, you know, so to me, it's like you're right. Like, I think there would have been too much time. And me being a person that worked in the funeral business, I know time don't wait on nobody. So I'm like, while I'm in film school, but I got access to this equipment, I'm going to take advantage of it.
That's right.
And by the time I got out of film school, I had already produced like 14 short films, and I was only there for like 2 years.
Wow. So you were grinding. You know, wasting no time. But how important is that though, when you think about it, just, you know, having somebody that believes in your own ability, and he just put that in your mind. I was like, wait, man, you can do this yourself. You don't need nobody else. You don't need one of these major companies to do what you're doing.
I appreciate that, because, you know, like the interesting thing about film school that a lot of people may not know, that there are a lot of, you know, people out here doing really amazing things that actually teach you. Like some of these movies that we actually watched back in the day, like, you know, Terminator, and, you know, some of these, you know, bigger pictures, like, you know, even maybe like Jurassic Park, like, a lot of times we pay a lot of attention to those names at the top. But what people don't realize is that some of those names in the credit may actually be one of your teachers, you know, because even Spike Lee, if I understand, like he actually teaches a film school too. So a lot of people may be surprised, but like what a lot of like filmmakers do, some of them actually become teachers and still work as a full-time filmmaker and then part-time teacher or a full-time teacher. Part-time filmmaker. So like some of them knows the business. So it's like, you know, to kind of get that advice from him, it was really cool. Cause like, if you look up Bradley LaRocco, he's out here doing some things too. Like all of my teachers there, Patrick Underwood, he had a movie called Middle Distance. I think he had put it on like Amazon Prime. One of my good teachers, John Otterbacher, he's always producing. Like, you know, he came out to one of my film premiere. And then Bill Backens, he worked for HBO, worked on Veggie Tales. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, wow. I met a lot of cool people. So like to have them behind me, it meant a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's just amazing that you had all these people who are excelling in their craft and they're doing things, but they're also willing to share with you, you know what I'm saying? Just to give back and may just make you more aware of just the not only the business side, but just how to be disciplined in your craft and things to look out for so you can actually excel.
Yeah, you're right, because I'm texting Efi now. He may hop on with us. But okay. I'm like, anybody can, because like, you know, but yeah, it's like I'm grateful that I went there, because like I met so many talented people. And it was really funny, because like, you know, right after I went to mortuary school, I was kind of struggling. Like, I'm like, well, if the mortuary thing don't work out, what am I gonna do? So like, you know, I went out to Vegas to work with my uncle, because he's a, you know, my family's in the plumbing business. So I'm like, you know, maybe I can try it. But I went out there, I'm like, you know what? I had the gift of gab talking to people, and it was funny, but the plumbing part of it, I'm like, you know what, you better leave that alone, brother.
This ain't your cup of tea, huh?
So I ended up going to film school, and it was like the best decision I could have made. Like I know some people, like, you know, it was funny, because like my friend Trace would always say, you know, we're in school getting a meaningless degree, y'all. Like we ain't gonna do that with this. But I mean, in spite of, it's like, you know, it's more to it than just getting a degree. Like, it's the connection, you know.
Yeah,
it's being able to use the equipment. And I mean, you know, people don't necessarily have to go, but I mean, I'm glad that I went, you know.
Yeah. And when you said something earlier, you said you're talking about time don't waste on, or time doesn't wait on anybody. When you have to, because I know sometimes, man, when you, especially in this industry where you got to create content, you got to learn new things. And sometimes it's like, man, you just want to go. And you don't want to spend a whole lot of time learning something new. But when you think about the, I guess, the position that you're in, how much value do you actually put into actually learning new stuff? Or let me see if that's the right way. How do you actually decipher what's important to learn and what's not important to learn for what you do?
I think it's the quality of the work. Like, I mean, cameras really matter. I mean, lights matter. But if you look at the way that the world is now, right? Social media changed the business model for filmmaking a lot, because there's a lot of people producing content just with their cell phones. And I mean, you know, people look at it. There's people with a lot of followings. I mean, you know, some legit, some not, you know, but nevertheless, you know, you got a lot of people actually able to use this little thing here.
Yeah.
So they're able to do a lot. So I think, to me, it's just, I guess sometimes it's just, it's what you're willing to do with it, and how you reach people. Because I learned this, like, you can have the best camera, you got the best stuff, but sometimes people may not even look at your work.
Yeah.
Then a person can have maybe not so great quality and a decent thing. So I just think it just depends on what matters. But to me, I think all of it matters. Like, you know, if you don't have the best of the line, just, you know, work with what you have. But one thing I learned about the film industry, I believe it works two ways. Part of it nowadays is that anybody can post. Anybody can put things on social media. That's the cool thing. But it's like, when you want to really get into, like, actually making a living out of it, you know, you may have to, you know, you might have to still kind of, like, maybe work with somebody, or, you know, get on the studio and get an intern. Like, it's not a definite that you have to, but it's like, if you want to, you know, learn it on that level, then you probably want to, you know, possibly hook up with somebody that have done that before. And then they can, you know, give you pointers. Because like they said, there are gatekeepers and stuff in that industry and all that. But, you know, they don't, but put it like this, they can't stop you. I mean, it's like, if you want to get in the way that they're doing it, then you got to follow their structure. But if you just want to, you know, be more independent and just have fun and just, you know, be satisfied with making whatever you make, hey, you know, the world is yours. You know, the world is mine. Because I'm an indies guy. I love it. You know, I'm not against anybody that's doing the other thing, but I work too hard to kind of, you know, let somebody just put me where they want me to be. Like, I like doing what I'm doing, you know?
Right.
Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I don't proclaim to be the best at anything. I'm just partaking in the industry. That's all.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm just having fun with them. Like, I don't, like, to me, I never get into, like, oh man, I'm the best, I'm the this, I'm the that. No, like, I'm just a child of God trying to live his dream. Like, I'm not, you know, because anybody could be a storyteller. If you give anybody a camera, lights, and even an unlimited budget, I'm pretty sure everybody to somebody would make a good movie. So I give everybody the benefit of the doubt as being a creative, you know. So I don't look at nobody like, oh, they like that, like they're more talented. No, everybody got a story they could tell, you know, if they had the resources to.
Yeah, man. So do you find that it's kind of difficult just to actually find somebody or identify somebody that you can actually trust? Because when you said gatekeepers, that's the first thing I thought about, was like, man, you got so many people just trying to protect those or limit the people who are actually striving or trying to get somewhere, and they're trying to, you know, just block them from, you know, whether it's making contact with somebody or not allowing them to share their ideas or dreams. I mean, that's a cold feeling.
Well, it is, because, like, if you think about it, you know, what a lot of people don't look at is that mostly all industries have people that kind of govern it. whether we like it or not, like I'm in the funeral business. I mean, they got the NFDA, you know, they got the National Funeral Directors Association, they got the government that regulates things. They got certain things, like certain procedures you gotta have to have a license. I mean, I feel like every industry like has some type of thing they make you kind of jump through hoops to get into. So that's just America for you, to my knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, in the film industry, what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the people starting out, they were independent, you know, back when it first came about. But then, you know, after they started building these studios, you know, then they eventually all connected and all this stuff and got unionized and all this. So there's a lot of more history behind that. But to make a long story short, I just feel like, you know, I think that it's kind of bad to me because, like, you know, there are people like that's really trying and people that would love to. That's why, like, a lot of time when entertainers be like, you know, I'm getting $75 million or I'm getting this or that. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at myself like I don't look at nobody else because I don't know their budget. I don't know their entourage and all this stuff. But to me, I don't necessarily – I think – I don't know. I feel like sometimes, you know – a lot of people feel like you have to live this really big lavish lifestyle because we kind of created that. I call it like a negative narrative. And what I mean by negative narrative is that a lot of times people feel like, you know, you got to have all this and that to show off, or you got to have all this luxury stuff to be happy. But to me, money is just a tool. And I feel that, like, if people really used it and, you know, took care of their families and did what they need, and then maybe by the grace of God, you got a little bit to help somebody if you want to. I think a lot of people could be more effective, but of course we live in this world where people greedy and all that stuff. So that's why, like, you know, me personally, like, I know that I don't need a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying I want what I work for in my work, but I think that, like, you know, I think that industry has a lot of greed in it. No doubt, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not saying that the people don't deserve, you know, what they get, but when people just, like, even with the whole you know, the writer's strike and all that stuff, and even with the actors, you know, and the SAG and all this stuff.
This is MacBook Pro. You
know, it all that was crazy because, like, you think about it, like, you know, these big studios, they have connections and they have the money, but, like, now they want to just, you know, knock people out, you know, knock the writers out of AI. Like, come on, man, like, you know, nothing wrong with artificial intelligence, but it's like, you know, when you start trying to knock people out and things like that, to me, that ain't trying to make the world a better place. That's a form of greed in a way. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to end up happening at some point is with technology, right? Technology could be used for good, but what I feel is going to happen eventually, you know, one business is probably going to knock everybody else out because they're not going to be able to have the money to keep up with this stuff, you know?
Right.
They know what they're doing. So I don't think it's out of the kindness of their heart. So, like, I feel like that's why I would urge all the creative and people like that just to start getting their own resources and stuff, you know? Because that's the way that it looked like. The fact that their strike lasted so long,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that made some people, and I feel bad because I know, like, some people, like, just get a regular job or whatever. But what I tell people is this: everything is pretty much a business. People don't work for free. And so Hollywood, I don't look at the film industry as just a hobby. I mean, it's an actual business where people actually make a living, you know? I mean, there's people, they may have more money, they might be in front of, but then that's not always true either, because, you know, you see some of these people on TV, like, hey, sometimes you may be doing better than someone financially. Everything's not what it looked like, because even with getting into professional wrestling, like, I learned a lot even from going into that world, because, like, I'm looking at it, but when I stepped into it, I'm like, wow, and I'm seeing talent, people that I used to watch on TV. Like, I was blessed to meet a lot of people and see, like, some of the up and coming wrestlers. But at the same time, if you look at it, like, you know, they're still working. Some of them are still working regular jobs. Yeah. Some of them are not even getting paid. Some of them may be appearing on TV, not even getting paid. So it's like everything just not what it looked like sometimes.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
I wasn't about to be one of them that wasn't getting paid. That's why I'm like, you know, hey, look, like, like, I don't, I've already experienced that. This can be a hobby for me.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going,
I heard that. I'm getting paid. Efi,
Yeah.
And how you pronounce your last name?
Omene.
Omene. Ife Omene. Now, let me guess. Let me guess. Your name. Let's say Omene. Omene. I'm gonna go with Ghana.
No, you were close. Nigerian.
I was gonna say it, but it's like everybody I meet is from Nigeria. I was like, let me step out the box.
Yeah. Your best bet was to say Nigerian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ife been working with me since the beginning. We went to film school together. He does most of the editing for me.
Oh, really? So Ife, what made you get into film?
I mean, I guess what really, really got me into film was, you know, before going to film school, I just started making my own YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But this was like when I dropped out of college. So I just thought, you know, being a YouTuber was the way to go because all my peers were doing it. But obviously my parents, you know, being Nigerians, they wanted me to be like a doctor or engineer. They didn't want me just sitting at home making videos all day and not making any money. So they said, if you're going to be making videos, you might as well go to school where, you know, editing videos, you know, gets you money. Uh-huh. So my dad recommended me Queens, Chicago. You know, that's where I met Wade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when a show made Wade my work, you know, he put me on to the projects that he was doing, and I've been editing for him ever since.
Wow. Now, what school were you attending that you end up dropping out?
UIC.
UIC? Yeah, because I think, man, there's so many people, including myself, man, who started college. So I was one of the ones where I started college, and I was like, I'm going because my parents wanted me to go. It wasn't something that I was passionate about at the time because I really didn't know which direction I was going in. So I ended up wasting just a lot of time and money, man. And so it wasn't until I like identified, I was like, okay, now it's time to go. It's go time. And then I just saw the whole mindset just kind of shifted.
Yeah. That was kind of me. I thought I knew what I wanted to do when I got into college. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw the work involved, I'm like, yeah, this isn't really me for real. So I don't know. I don't know if this is really for me. So I just dropped out last minute and you know, just decided to do what I really wanted to do in the first place.
Got it.
But you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. Like everybody, I feel like, you know, a lot of times, like I think that's what I feel like our culture should change from. Like, you know, I feel that everybody got a right to pursue their dream. Right. And to be honest with you, you can make it in any industry. You just have to find a way to make it marketable because everything, you know, because something that people do for free, some people getting paid to do it.
Right.
I mean, it's just, but you just have to know how to position yourself in the right way. And I learned that, like, to me, like, that's why I said I don't want nobody to hand me anything. Like, I'm willing to, like, long as it's in the right way, I'm willing to, you know, find my own path. Cause like, even that's why, like, I think the financial literacy is important too, because a lot of times if you put your money and use your money the right way, a lot of things you can do yourself.
You can.
Trust me. Cause it feels a bit different. Like I look at Tyler Perry, like if you look at his story, I like that he worked different jobs and all that, but he used his own money. And even he got to the point where like, he was selling so many like videos, VHS, like they like, uh-oh, like who is this guy? Like he ain't come up through the way we get. He ain't come in the way we was looking for. But right. Hey, but people was buying this stuff, so like, you know, they just like, hey, you know, we'll give him a chance.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's like, to me, I'm all about like forge your own path. That's why like I find Ife's story unique too, because like, you know, I kind of find that like Walt Disney story. Like if you look up his story, Walt Disney was born in Chicago, but he spent most of his life in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And after he went to the military, I think his family had moved back to Chicago. And I think his dad like had like this factory job waiting on him, but he like, no, I'm going back to. So he went back to Missouri and worked as a commercial artist. And then eventually him and his brother teamed up. But this is what a lot of people miss. His mm-hmm. brother was a banker. Then one of his other brothers was a life insurance agent. So, like, if you put the two together, hey, life insurance, they know, hey, them agents, they can hook you up with, like, knowing how to use your money. Then being a banker, he know how to get money. So, hey, that's, you got your studio right there, Walt Disney, the creative. Man, they took off from there. So like, I feel like you team up with the right people,
right?
And you can do a lot of stuff.
You sure can.
You ain't gotta go up to the high up, low ups or whatever. Like you can find you somebody with financial literacy and find out how to start your own business, find out how to make it work, you know. So once you get that mindset, you look at everything a lot differently.
That's right, huh? Man. So EP, what are some of your aspirations, man?
Well, obviously, I want to get back into content creation because it's been a while since I've, uploaded on YouTube. But apart from content creation, I also want to, take the next step into filmmaking, not just with, video editing, but I really want to dabble into, cinematography because, I'm kind of fascinated by, shooting film as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I kind of want to, make my own story. So, apart from, cinematography, screenwriting, writing my own movies or TV shows, work with people like Quentin Tarantino or like Dick Wolf, you know, and also, get into things of like photography and, back then as a kid, I used to draw a lot. So, probably want to get into that or animation. I just have a lot of things, but content creation and filmmaking are the big two things that I really want to take to the next level.
That's good. And I think the first thing, man, is just believing that you could do it, right? Because it's funny, man, that you said that, because as you're talking, the first thing that came to my mind was I was listening to the audio, Power of the Subconscious Mind. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking about that word belief. And once you actually believe something, you're accepting it to be real. And once you do that, then, you start taking action towards that, right? Because you already know that it's going to manifest the time. The thing is, you don't know what time or when. It's just a process, but it's going to happen. It's inevitable, right? And so, yeah, it's almost like faith also, man, just taking action.
Take action.
Yeah, I feel like there's... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it just seemed like there's so many options or opportunities in the film industry. People just, I don't think that many people are actually aware of what you can actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Because I know, for me, and I'm happy to share this now. I thank God for being from Chicago and stuff like that. But what I've noticed is that there are some people that's blessed enough to make it where they're from. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed, there's a lot of more people that had to leave and go somewhere else. And the funny thing about it is I had tried to get in with the Chicago film office for a long time. These people ain't never get back with me. Mm-hmm. Or they get back with me and say, well, we ain't nothing we can do for us. So, my wife is from Missouri. So right now I'm living in Chicago and part-time in Missouri. Now the people in Missouri, they're like, well, hey, we're gonna see what we can do for you. Yeah. So I'm like, come on, man. Can't get no love in your own city. See what I mean?
Yeah.
but I appreciate, the film office down in Missouri for, at least trying to make room for me. So I keep y'all updated on that.
That's right.
But yeah, sometimes you can't be afraid to move around either, because like I said, time, it don't wait. It don't wait on nobody. Even a hand on the clock move. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You gotta, if you really want something bad enough, sometimes you gotta, try moving around a little bit. I mean, even watching nature's right. When the lion, when they hungry, and they don't stay in one spot.
They don't.
Wherever the food is, they going for it.
They going.
So I kind of adapt that mentality. As long as it's genuine and pure. I'm not going to turn. See, one thing about me, they'll tell you, when I worked at the funeral home, I don't turn too much anything that if it's good. You know, I ain't saying, hey, opportunity, I take it. Long as it's good, hey, I got you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, it's just not good to take time for granted. So if I get the opportunity, I take it.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's your take on time?
I actually agree. I know, as much as I love living in Chicago, I know, eventually, there will be a time where if I want to take, my goals and aspirations to the next level, I might have to go, you know, where those opportunity lies, you yeah. know, whether it's like New York City, Los Angeles, even though I hate Los Angeles. But you know, you know, I might have to go there to, you know, like, you know, network and connect with people, mm-hmm. like-minded individuals, and, you know, see where it can go. And yeah. obviously time waits for no one. I mean, I think I forgot who said this, or I do remember who said it, but I forgot his name. But he said this, and I don't know if I'm going to butcher it, but basically saying that, you know, time is always moving. So if you're not progressing, by default, you're regressing. Because if you're standing still and then time keeps moving, you're not doing anything. Other people are already doing things while the time is going on, and you are just standing right where you are. So I don't want to, like, take anything for granted. I don't want to waste any time that could be spent doing something productive, furthering my goals. I don't want to waste that time. So I want to take advantage of every opportunity that I can get.
Yeah. So just with that, with you saying that, what are some of the ways that you actually focus and manage your time?
Before I had a very terrible time, like, you know, with time management, I always used to procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously I had like online mentors, you know, tell me like how to manage my time. Something as simple as like, you know, putting reminders on Google Calendar to, you know, being a little bit more disciplined in like other aspects of your life. So, you know, before I used to be like super overweight, and, you know, now that I have like a gym regimen, so like I lost a lot of weight since then, you know, me going into the gym like 4 or 5 times a week has actually disciplined me, not just in the gym, but other aspects of my life. Because once you're disciplined and like taking care of your body, you're going to be, it's going to permeate into other aspects of your life where you're disciplining your time. And, you know, obviously like the opportunities that Wade has thrown my way has also, you know, helped a lot with managing, you know, my regular job with, you know, with Wade and other opportunities that Wade has thrown my way. So I've been able to, you know, manage my time really wisely. I've been able to be a lot more disciplined in my work ethic. And honestly, I can say that, you know, that strategy that I've implemented has really helped me a lot.
That's good, man. Because you got so many people who just straight up procrastinate, or they just kind of go off the memory. They don't write anything down. And so there's nothing really to follow. And as you were talking, man, it made me think about how I had the snooze button on my phone. Man, I had to take the snooze button off, man. It's like, there's no more snooze, right? And now I kind of have like that mentality, like the alarm clock, when that puppy goes off, it's like it's setting me free to actually go out and take care of the things I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, the snooze button, the snooze button is off.
Yeah,
because man, I usually hit that mug, and I just, especially when I got time to sleep, I'm like, but that's when I really wasn't focused, or really not, you know, working on anything. I didn't have like that something that I was pursuing that I was passionate about. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it makes a difference.
I might have to implement that strategy. Take this news button off, so I don't waste no more time.
Yeah, man. You know, it's time is important, and you know you'll be surprised when you take the first step. You'll be surprised with that. That's why, like I said, even when I was started training for pro wrestling, like I said, I walked into an opportunity and I started meeting some really interesting people, and I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't know it was that easy. You know, but I mean, it was fun. You know, but I mean, again, if you take a chance, you'll learn if it's for you or if it's if it is. You know, you never right. know if you don't try, you know.
Right.
Sometimes you may get the opportunity and you be like, well, you know what? It was nice trying it out, but I don't think I ain't gonna fool with this.
Right. Now, Ify, I know you said you're from Nigeria. Now, were you born and raised there, or were you born and raised here?
Born and raised in Chicago. My family.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Now, how often do you get back?
To be honest, I only went there one time, and that was aunt's wedding.
Uh-huh.
Once upon a time. But other than that, I haven't been back since. But I always wanted to go back.
Yeah.
But I mean, To be honest, a lot of my relatives, they kind of moved out of Nigeria and either stayed here in the U.S. or they live in, like, you know, England. So,
okay.
Unless I have, like, family members back in Nigeria, I don't know if I might go back.
Yeah.
You know, it depends if I have other relatives that I don't know about. Mm-hmm.
Now, would you ever, or do you ever see yourself doing, like, some kind of documentary or something like that on your culture?
You know, it was kind of interesting. I remember, I think it was like Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, obviously I was hanging out with family, my immediate family. And we were listening to Fela Kuti, I believe his name is. He's like a Afrobeats artist in the 70s. And I was listening to his music. And I was tapping my brother and I'm like, wow, this, like, obviously I remember listening to him growing up. But I remember, you know, being like, what if I were to, like, make a film that takes place in, like, Nigeria in, like, the 1970s, similar to, like, Blaxploitation film, but, like, takes place in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the music that Fela made can easily, like, you know, be, like, a soundtrack to that exact same, like, setting. I don't know. It just came to me. Like, I don't know. Maybe, like, going to Nigeria, you know, finding Nigerian actors, making a TV show or a movie in Nigeria, because there's a lot of good, like, you know, up and coming actors in Nigeria. So
yeah,
definitely want to, like, seize that opportunity and, like, you know, if I have time, definitely go out there and, you know, make something happen.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to that episode of Why Not You. What a great segment so far. Hey, that was just part one. Real quick. Now, Wade and Ife, they've been working together since film school. And they've had some challenges also. So the question I have for you is, what are the advantages and challenges of maintaining long-term professional collaborations like theirs? Just think about that for a sec. Hey, you all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You? Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.